KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 60 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly cloudy skies today. The high of 79. Radar shows some light rain activity entering southwest Iowa, basically south of Highway 34 and along the Interstate 29 corridor. From there on out, a little bit into the southwest corner, down by Clarinda and Bedford, some scattered showers. Bulk of the activity, though, is off into southeast Nebraska and Kansas. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In the news this hour, the Atlantic Police Department reports two residents were arrested Monday on drug charges. 19-year-old Lucas Stone and his wife, 25-year-old Alexandra Stone, both of Atlantic, were taken into custody on Cass County warrants for possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver. The couple was booked into the Cass County Jail. The Union County Sheriff's Office said yesterday an Afton woman was arrested Tuesday morning at her home on a Union County warrant for homicide by vehicle, OWI. The charge against 61-year-old Donna Jo Spare was in connection with a January 16th crash on Highway 34 about 3 miles east of Creston. That accident claimed the life of 49-year-old Deanne Lee Hoffman of Creston. The Iowa State Patrol said at the time Ms. Spare was driving a 2001 Chevy Impala when her car crossed the center line on Highway 34 and hit the 1997 Buick LeSabre that was driven by Hoffman. Hoffman was transported to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston, where she died. Following her arrest on Monday, Spare was released from the Union County Jail on $25,000 bond. The Creston Police Department Wednesday released a report on their recent activity. Monday morning, they said 28-year-old Danica Horniak of Creston was cited for allowing an animal to run at large. She was released on a promise to appear later in court. And at around 12:45 a.m. Wednesday, 28-year-old Courtney Mitchell of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a charge of OWI first offense. Mitchell was being held in the Ringgold County Jail on a $1,000 bond. Authorities in Creston said also that no injuries were reported following an accident Monday afternoon at the intersection of Town Line Road and Sumner Avenue. A vehicle driven by 75-year-old Joy Stanley of Greenfield and 22-year-old Daniel Schaefroth of Lenox collided at around 2:10 p.m. when Stanley failed to yield the right-of-way while making a left turn. There were no citations issued. Damage amounted to $2,000. Police in Red Oak Wednesday afternoon arrested 49-year-old Douglas Fay Penry of Red Oak on a charge of criminal mischief in the fifth degree. He was taken into custody around 1:25 p.m. in the 400 block of East Market Street in Red Oak. Additional details about the incident leading to his arrest were not released. Penry was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. A proposed 150 million gallon per year ethanol plant in Atlantic is still millions of dollars away from becoming a reality. Mark Wiedemeyer with the Cass County Board of Supervisors said during their meeting on Wednesday that a meeting had been held Monday night.
Raising funds, there's about 15 million to go. They have people that will probably fill that gap, but they wanted to give an opportunity for local people to get a little bit of investment in it. So that was mainly what the meeting was about. You know, they're going to try to finish that up this week, and they're going to have a meeting on Monday night out at the airport for people that are interested.
The meeting of this past Monday night was in Oakland for the potential investors in the Ohio-based Farmers Energy Cardinal plant. In January, the Iowa Department of Economic Development approved a tax benefits in the form of $4.25 million in sales tax refunds for the project that promised to create 49 jobs. Wiedemeyer said they're making pretty good progress on plans for the plant, but there are some sticking points as far as the railroad is concerned. With regard to the rate the company will pay for transportation of DDGs, those are dried distillers grain, and ethanol that will be produced at the plant, Snyder & Associates engineer Tim Tighe told the Board of Supervisors that negotiations were underway to resolve those transportation issues. Wiedemeyer said Atlantic is in a good position geographically to make transportation of those products to both coasts.
We like the position of Atlantic because a lot of the DDGs go to the West Coast and the ethanol goes to the East Coast. And if you're in like Dexter, they only go that way, I guess, and to Chicago. And from here, you can go either way. And if you're in Omaha, it mostly goes west. So we are in a good location. We can go either way with that.
The proposed ethanol plant will be designed and built by Minnesota-based Fagen Incorporated. Once constructed, it'll be one of the state's largest. Snyder's Tim Tighe said even with their investment goal still out of reach, officials are anxious to get some work done because they're confident the plant will become a reality.
There's some early activity that they want to do, and I think it stems from Fagen had purchased a large number of rail cars, and they want to get some siding prepared at this site to store those cars. So they have purchased the needed land, and they've got a contractor lined up to start grading, and it involves additional crossings of the roadway, and that those would be north of the existing rail crossing on that segment of road that's north-south before you get to Glenn Smith's.
The plans have been submitted to the county engineer and Snyder & Associates for review to make sure there are no conflicts with the road design for future paving of that road by the county.
Originally, we worked directly with the ethanol group to design the roadway, and there was kind of a pass-through of funds. So we don't really have a contract to work with anybody. So I'm here today to... It's set up now to work directly with the board, and you can direct us to be involved with whatever assistance you need, or if Charlie needs us to be involved, he can direct us to do so.
To that end, the board approved giving the firm authorization to assist in the coordination, planning, and review of various improvements for necessary for the plant that may impact the Glacier and Echo Road paving projects. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman reports a notice of the Atlantic Community School District special election was published Wednesday. Persons desiring to vote prior to Election Day afternoon may vote absentee at the office of the Cass County Auditor during regular business hours up through 11 a.m. on Election Day, September 13th. The Auditor's office regular business hours are 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. They'll be closed on Labor Day, of course, September 5th. Now, the public measure up for vote during the election September 13th will ask if the Board of Directors for the Atlantic Community School District is authorized for a period of 10 years to levy and impose a voter-approved physical plant and equipment levy, or VPEPL, not to exceed 85 cents per $1,000 of assessed valuation of taxable property within the school district. And that would begin July the 1st of 2017. And to impose a physical plant and equipment income surtax upon the state individual income tax of each individual income taxpayer resident in the school district beginning with the 2017 calendar year. The percentage of the income surtax would not exceed 20%, and that would be determined by the board each year. Now, the Atlantic Community School District consists of patrons in Cass, Audubon, and Pottawatomie counties. The polls will open at noon on September 13th and close at 8 p.m. The election is at large, meaning that all residents of the entire school district may vote for the public measure. In state news, Iowa Secretary of State's office is turning to digitization to halt the deterioration of some business records that date back to the 1850s. The office is accepting bids through the end of this month for a project that aims to preserve information about early business ownership in Iowa. The records are maintained using microfilm, microfiche, and physical cards and filing cabinets that altogether total more than 2 million images. Some records have degraded through normal use. The Secretary of State's office has $300,000 in state funding to pay for the project, though actual costs are still being determined. The office wants to finish digitization by the end of this year. Similar projects are underway in other areas of Iowa's state government. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.